One of the striking things about humans is that, in fact, 90% of us, when handed a pen or a tool, will use it with our right hands. And this is not a modern phenomenon either. Cave paintings suggest that our ancestors, even tens of thousands of years ago, were also very much more inclined to use their right hands for specialist tasks. So how does this happen?
My name is Sebastian Ocklenburg from Ruhr University, Bochum in Germany. The question I'm really interested in is, how does handedness develop? We know that in the population, about 90% of individuals are right-handed, but it's still completely unclear what determines whether somebody is left-handed or right-handed. The defining theory for the last couple of decades has been that handedness is determined by a single gene, but we know from genetic research in the 2000s that this is very unlikely. So in the 1990s, a researcher named Peter Hepper had the theory that handedness might not be determined by the cortex, but by the spinal cord, because it was found that embryos already show a right-handed preference for motor movements during a developmental phase in which the spinal cord is not connected to the motor cortex.
What did you do then to try to see how the spinal cord might be arriving at that situation of that right-hand-sided dominance in what are to be future right-handers?
One of the major theories about development of handedness is that gene expression asymmetries might play a role here. So this is what we looked at. We tried to find genes that were expressed asymmetrically in the spinal cord. If there are expression asymmetries, that might be an explanation for behavioral asymmetries later in life.
How did you study that?
So we looked at tissue samples from the spinal cord from human fetuses obtained from a gynecological clinic. Those were from week 8, 10, and 12. So we looked at genes and how they were expressed on the left and right spinal cord. And we also performed epigenetic analysis. So we looked at asymmetries in gene methylation and expression of microRNAs.
Right, so what you're saying is that the genetic code may well be the same in an individual who's right and left-handed, but you can actually change how turned on or turned off certain genes are, and also the epigenetic markers which are added to the genes could be different on the right and the left, and that could account for the handedness, even though the genetic messages are the same.
Exactly. So we think this might be one of the reasons why previous researchers have found so few results when looking at genetic variation. Exactly that such processes might switch on or switch off or modify gene expression, which then leads to variation in key structures in the central nervous system that modify the behavioral phenotype. And you cannot see that from just looking at the genetic variation.
And was that clear? Could you see that there was a difference in the way the genes were being turned on and how much they were turned on the right versus the left?
So yeah, we found that these processors are very much dependent on the time point where we look at it. So if you look at the time point where the fetuses show this right-sided preference for this first time, we see a huge asymmetry in gene expression and also in these epigenetics processes, which gets less and less the farther it proceeds in development.
Now, famously, in his book Right Hand, Left Hand, Chris McManus, who did literally write the book on left-handedness since about the 1980s, now he highlights in that book that asymmetry begets asymmetry. In other words, just because you have found an asymmetry in the gene expression in the spinal cord, well, something must produce that asymmetry in the first place. So what do you think, or how do you account for the fact that you've got this difference in expression of gene patterns on one side of the cord versus the other?
So that's probably the biggest open question I want to address in my research in the future. Which environmental factors actually trigger these epigenetic processes? I can't really say I have a good clue at that right now. Some people, for example, suggest stress might play a role. Some other people suggest that intrauterine hormonal environment, for example, testosterone level. But it's really something that we will have to look up in follow-up experiments. I cannot really answer that right now. I'm sorry.
So there is still a mystery to solve. Sebastian Ocklenberg there.